That's really what it means.
That's right.
I have to go over here. Do you know who wrote the book of Hebrews?
A lot of them say that Paul did, but a lot of them say even they were talking about the couple that he ran around with. Priscilla and Aquila.
Right.
They say maybe Aquila or Priscilla might have written that book, but nobody.
They spent a lot of time really with Paul.
Knows.
It kind of sounds like Paul, but I want to read this scripture here. And this is really one of the bottom line reasons why we're giving you this lesson, and that's to build up your confidence that you can be healed. And here it says in Hebrews 10:35, two great verses, 35 and 36. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now here it comes. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And a lot of times, Barbara, we have to stand in there and stand against fear, doubt, and unbelief, and while teaching, and I don't care where it came from, you got to get bottom line into the Word for yourself.
Absolutely.
Because that's what the accountability factor is going to apply to, is you and the Word, not you and the preacher or you and the priest. It's the Word.
That's right. And as you realize with this teaching, and as you look into the original Greek and Hebrew, and you find out for yourself, hey, this doesn't mean illness, this doesn't mean sickness, this means an attack from the outside, you're going to build your confidence up in your own strength so that you can go out and say, people, that's a fallacy, that's wrong teaching. And so I just want to repeat this again. God said to him, Father God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my power is perfected in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, says Paul, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And you were talking about 1 Corinthians 2, Darren, how Paul came not in demonstration of eloquent words or in wisdom as a man, as a human being, but he came almost in fear and trembling to write this. But he had the power.
Well, let me read it. And when I came to you, this is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 that Barbara's talking about. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Hallelujah.
He had one agenda.
That's right.
That was Jesus. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about,
that's
Darren.
That's the dunamis
and
power.
That's what Paul was talking about here. He was trying to tell them, hey, guys, it's not me. It's God in me. And when he wrote Galatians 2:20, it says, I'm crucified.
Right.
I'm already
exactly.
a dead man. But it's Christ in me that you're going to see. And as we teach, Darren, I want people to see Christ
Amen.
In us, not us any longer, but Christ in us.
And you know, if all you can say in your time of trouble and distress is, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, if that's all you can say, that one verse of scripture, folks, listen to me now, has all the power of the throne of God. Every verse has all the power of God in it. Don't say, well, this verse is more important than that one. They all have the power of God in them.
That's right. Well, let's go on to verse 10. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. Let's look at this word weaknesses again. It's loss of strength due to persecution, distress, etc. It may mean infirmity, but in this case, it does not, because these other three explanations we're going to get into does not in any way, shape, or form come close to the word disease or illness. I'm content with weaknesses, with insults. Insults is number 5196. It means mistreatment due to reproach, which is taunting, scorn, and railings. Darren, this has to do with the tongue that is so evil. It's such an evil little force. It's a tiny little member of the body, but it causes such great evil.
Well, we read about that in the book of James. It says
yes.
It's a small small instrument, but it's like a rudder on a ship.
That's
very
right.
Small, but controls things.
Yes.
It's small but powerful enough to start a forest fire.
Mm-hmm.
And these attacks were coming against Paul, and it was set up by the devil to destroy his life and his testimony.
That's right. So it's weaknesses, insults, number 5196. It's distresses, number 318. That means trouble, oppression, harassment. And also we found comical here. Well, no, it's not comical, but it's interesting that one of the meanings of distress is number 6869, and it is trouble from a rival wife. That means that some of the relationships, and some of you know exactly what we're talking about, when we get married, we're supposed to become best friends, absolutely comrades in this walk on this earth. And yet, some of you have become rivals. You have become your worst enemies as married couples. And this is what Paul is talking about. The meaning of distress is trouble, and sometimes it comes from the people we love the most.
Well, you know, it comes, Barbara, and this rival wife concept here is there's not the submission, and there has to be submission on the husband's part also.
That's right.
You know, we need to submit one to another as unto the Lord. I really believe that. But the husband has to be the final leader. He's got to be the one that finally makes the decision and say, this is where we're going to go. You know, I think about words here that came so much from people and these impressions and the things that came from evil spirits against Paul. You know, these come against people today. And one thing that has grieved me over the years is I will be talking perhaps to a wife that's been just really verbally now, folks, like Paul, verbally abused for years. And they'll come and they say, you know, my husband has never hit me. Praise God, he's never hit me. Well, I'll tell you something, Barbara. Those words have hurt that person more than fists or sticks or
that's
clubs
right.
or whatever over a period of time. Their spirit has been absolutely mutilated. And then I've had them come and say, well, you know, finally he hit me, so I'm going to file for a divorce. Wait a minute. He has been doing worse things, in a sense, to you and to the kids all these years. But finally, because of your distorted view of all this thing, well, when it got to the physical abuse, well, now you've got a reason to leave or a reason to file for divorce or whatever. What about the words? And I'm not saying you ought to jump up and divorce. I'm just saying here Paul was telling us the impact of words on our lives is horrendous.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it is demonic and horrendous. Think about it. You also can be healed from the effects of words coming against your spirit man.
Oh, praise God. I'll tell you, and verse 10, now we've gone through verse 10. Paul says, I will do with the weaknesses, the insults, the distresses, and the difficulties. Difficulties is number 6999, and it means to smoke or smolder or burn as a sacrifice. I truly believe, Darren, that Paul saw himself as a sacrifice, an offering, because in 2 Timothy, he talks about himself being poured out as a drink offering for the sake of Jesus Christ. None of these meanings in verse 10 come close to disease or illness. They all have their meanings in coming from the outside, from attacks on the physical body. And verse 11, for I have not fallen short one bit or proved myself at all inferior. Now, with all this going on in his life and people attacking him, he has brought the gospel to the people. He has done his part, and he doesn't feel at all inferior to those, I love this phrase, super apostles that have come against him.
Now, when you said he hadn't proved inferior, I believe here's what went on in Paul's life, and you can read it in his writings. He continued to operate in the power and the anointing with signs and miracles and wondrous things following.
That's what he says here. He says signs that indicate a genuine apostle are the signs of miracles, wonders, and mighty works.
Right.
And he says, I've done them among you. I have been the one that has done these. These guys who call themselves super apostles and who act like it, they haven't done any of this.
Right, right.
And I believe it was Paul who, he gave out handkerchiefs to people anointed and people were healed. And even his shadow, people wanted to get next to him or at least have his shadow pass over them, and they were healed. And I believe that was Paul in the book of
Acts. Well, it doesn't matter. It happened.
Yeah,
right?
It did in the book of Acts.
And you know,
Acts.
Sometimes the Lord has said, and when I remember to take two handkerchiefs with me, he said, I want you to take that handkerchief out of your pocket. I want you to hold it between your hands, or I want you to put anointing oil on it, and I want you to give it to this person. Well, we're not into this thing of sending out handkerchiefs or aprons or whatever through the mail. We don't do that. But occasionally God has me do that. Put the anointing on that object and give it to that person and take it. That'll help build their faith, but there is a real anointing on that. And Paul was one that had such a tremendous anointing on his life because he had that revelation of who God is and who Jesus is. And Jesus Christ crucified, but Jesus Christ resurrected. And he was operating in the resurrected ministry of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise
and that
God.
Brought great, great, great jealousy to those who didn't have the anointing. They couldn't do what he was doing, and it made them fight and mad.
That's right, it did.
And they so then they say, you know, to their people, well, you know, like one place in the book of Acts, it says, well, it is evident that a noteworthy miracle has taken place. Well, so then they said, well, we've got to destroy the miracle worker because we can't do the miracles.
Oh.
And some of you are in